Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up!
I want to drag you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
And welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Dan, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig, before work tonight?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. Cheer up. It'll be fine.
And surprisingly, our other co-host has not overstepped today, and he is on the line. What's going on, Couture?
Not much. I got plenty of sleep.
Yeah, well,
I didn't miss an hour and a half, so. Yeah. There's nothing worse than somebody ruining your sleeping schedule. That's like the worst thing somebody can do to you, so I feel you.
It is.
Yeah.
But I'll let it go this one time just for Craig, just because I'm a nice guy.
I appreciate it.
We're doing a show. I'm guessing on two subjects today. Basically, we're going to be, I guess, previewing the Elimination Chamber and talking about past Elimination Chambers. And we will be talking a little bit about the network, which starts on Monday. And I guess we
exactly.
Should add something before then. I guess we should talk about Big Daddy V before that. That was kind of... It was sad, and to me it was even sadder when I read how old he was, because the dude was only 43,
mm-hmm.
You know, he's just a few years older than I am, so
yeah.
That kind of sucks. But yeah, last night or yesterday, Viscera, Big Daddy V, Mabel, King Mabel passed away of a heart attack in the shower, and that kind of sucks.
Yeah, the sad part was that he had just started losing I guess he lost close to 100 pounds, according to Dave. And, yeah, that sucks. I mean, figuring out...
Not shocking, considering, you know, how big he was. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, at his height...
Yeah, but I would figure, like, maybe, like, 50 or 43. That's, like, I don't know, that's just young to me. I mean, if it was more drug-related, I could understand, like, it being younger. But just, like, you know what I mean? For being a big dude, you know.
I think Yokozuna was younger when he died.
Yeah, Yokozuna was pretty young, too.
He had to be right at 40 or either in his very late 30s.
Yeah. Well, when you're like, hitting close to that 500-pound mark, you know, I mean, it's a big toll on your body, I guess, when you get to that age.
Aside from Andre, would he have been like the tallest, heaviest wrestler? Because you didn't see too many people, you know, that tall with that much weight.
6'8", 350.
Yeah.
Yeah.
350, that's where he's 400 pounds.
I'm sorry, 450.
Okay.
It was 450, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. It was something around there. They were 400.
Big man.
Yeah, he is. I mean, at my heaviest, I was like 333, and I'm almost a foot shorter than the dude. You know what I mean? So, yeah, he has to weigh a lot. So, yeah.
It was okay. I mean, I never had a problem with him. He was always like when he whipped out that spin kick. I always thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was a great move. Stole
from
Japan.
Yeah, that's the first time I saw it. And that big fat dude spin around and it's just a spin kick. Men in the Mission were okay. I mean, it was kind of, you know, back when they had all the gimmicks in WWE and, you know, there was Mabel.
And Oscar.
Oscar. Yeah, Oscar Raffi. Oscar was pretty good.
I remember they had a touch of Gorilla Monsoon. You know, that whenever they would come out, and back then the hot thing to scream was, "Whoop, there it is," and Gorilla Monsoon would always say, "Whoops, there it is."
Oh, that's funny. And then he became, I remember he, you know, it's not his fault, but he was probably the worst King of the Ring winner.
He was one of the worst pay-per-views of all time, if I recall.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never minded when he beat a guy, because that guy that big, I could probably believe he could beat anybody, so, you know. I think he was the first one to really beat The Undertaker. He beat him in that tournament. I think it was the first time The Undertaker was ever like, well, Hulk Hogan beat him like back in 91, but really just anybody like just pinning The Undertaker. He's like one of the first ones on like TV.
Wow. Yeah. And then he's also played for a while. He was Viscera from the Ministry?
Ministry, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he looks like I guess it was because he was wearing black, but he looked slimmer at the time. And then he became the world's biggest love machine, you know, and started hitting on Lillian Garcia. And that's probably my favorite thing, that if everything he did was that. That was awesome.
Yeah. Remember when he was feuding with Charlie Haas because Haas accidentally knocked her off the ring from that one time and broke her hand?
That's right.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I remember seeing that when he hit the ring, and all of a sudden I looked and you could just barely see it, and I said, Leah just got wiped out by that guy. And she did. She got fucking knocked her loop off that ring apron. She just went, flat back bump off the apron to the floor.
Did it take like a Rob Van Dam?
Huh?
So when he gets, like when Rob Van Dam gets knocked off the ring and he goes flying into the railing, that's what it kind of looked like. But well, what's funny is, like, I was watching that, and I felt like I was totally focused because the match still hadn't really gotten. So it's just like, hit the ropes, and I saw something, and I'm like, what the fuck was that? And then they show the replay, and fucking poor Lillian just, poof.
It's like
they
like killed. When I first got a TiVo, so I could rewind it and watch it again, because I was in a chat room or something during Raw back then, and nobody noticed it was so fast, and didn't really get caught by the camera. So
yeah, and then he went to ECW and was still Big Daddy V, but he was more back to being like a monster, and. He had some of the biggest man boobs in probably the history of the world.
Yep, him and Abdullah.
Yeah, him and Abdullah. It would have been a great tag team.
And Matt Stryker was his manager.
Oh, that's
when
right.
When he's beating a guy up, he'd scream, "More, Daddy, more."
Okay, that's wrong.
Yeah. But, it's like that he passed away at such a young age. And, hell, he probably could have made a run or two into WWE just for, like, you know, quick runs here or there or brought back here and there. I mean, he was so young enough, but not going to happen.
I thought I saw that he was, you know, still doing indie dates around the country, even teaming with Gangrel.
He probably was.
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah. But
at least,
let's let's get to a little happier note, and before we get to our topic. Craig, Craig, why don't you tell us about why you had a miss last week's show and how everything over the weekend went.
Oh, we're gonna do this. Okay. I like how Brian danced around it the other day.
It's so scary to bring like stuff up with you. It's like he thinks you're gonna get mad and want to kick his ass.
Well, that goes without saying, but no, it was. Anyway, yeah, married off my daughter this weekend. Had a nice little ceremony. Got to hang out with Vince. Came down for the wedding. That was kind of nice. And yeah, got her all married off, and hopefully she comes back. Get her dog pretty soon. Cause I'm gonna kill that thing. That's another story for another time.
Now. Back in the old days, I don't know if it's still in effect, but like the Vice family had to pay for the wedding. Did you have to spring for everything?
Well, you see, thank God times have changed. And nobody paid for our wedding, so we took care of some things, but no, we did not pay for the whole wedding.
I always thought that, you know, always hearing that growing up, I always thought that sounded so unfair. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like the parents take, like, yeah, the parents take care of the wedding, and then both the mothers get involved, and that's trouble. So.
Yeah. Well, luckily he moved here from Texas last year, and so most of his family, they just didn't show up for whatever reason. His mom showed up, but that was pretty much it. So there wasn't a lot of fighting, and she showed up the day before. So it was all good.
I'm happy to go to anybody's wedding, but I'll make it clear, I don't want to be involved in it. I don't want to roll. I want to sit.
Yep.
I've had to be usher and stuff like that. I hate doing shit like that. First, I hate dressing up in those daggum tuxes.
Yeah.
Me booker is just to get the damn things on right.
Yeah.
That's what I told my mom. She told me my sister was getting married about 10 years ago. I said, I'm happy to go. Please do not make me do anything. Because the first wedding I was ever in, I was like 15. I had to be an usher. And I hate doing stuff like that. And I know I was nervous having to be up in front of all those people. And I'm out in the foyer of this church where there was a friend of my mom's daughter was getting, my mom's best friend's daughter was getting married. And I don't know, I just hadn't eaten that day, and they say don't lock your knees.
Yes.
Wham. Right down on my face, broke my jaw.
Oh, well, that's no good.
It's no good. I had to have a mouth where I shut too much.
Huh. Well, that sucks.
Yeah.
But I'm nothing now memorable, so you got all these people coming in for this wedding, there's this guy in this pool of blood knocked out.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was like, it's swallowed most of the blood while I was knocked out, and then like I was throwing up like crazy. They kind of deposited me out, and they called my dad, and he came and scraped me up, and it was no fun.
Well,
thank God nothing like that happened. Anyway, I'll tell you who I've seen do a great job as a wedding usher, and that was Craig, because Craig knew how to disappear and make poor Vinny have to walk everybody to their seats. Yeah, Brian.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then he had to stand there while Vinny was mouthing shut up to Brandon and getting, like, just about to lose his damn mind.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. That's the best way to get out of stuff. Just don't be around.
Did they go anywhere for the honeymoon? Or?
Yeah, they went somewhere local. He's a hunter. And an outdoorsy guy, so they actually rented a cabin up in the mountains here. So, yeah, everything was very simple. Wedding was simple. The honeymoon was simple. So hopefully they're smart with their money like Mom and Dad are. So, but, it was nice. I didn't even have to rent a tux. I wore my suit. And, yes, I have a suit, and I have I had a tie that matched the guys, no problem, because I have suits and ties and dress shirts and things like that, and you can make fun of me if you want, but every girl's crazy about a sharp-dressed man. And so anyway, me and the boy, my son was the ring bearer, and he didn't have to get a suit or anything like that, or rent a tux. I mean, he had his own suit. And anyway, yeah, it was real simple, just cake and ice cream and such, and it was fun. So
when my sister got married, my dad went and bought her tux. So we're buying one. So we'll have one for the wedding, and I need one to be buried in. So go two birds with one stone.
There you go. Hopefully, it doesn't put any weight.
It's funny that you mentioned sharp dressed man, because that picture looked like if Bobby Fulton and Tommy Rogers had let themselves go by about 150 pounds.
Yes, I did take a picture with Vince and post it up on Twitter. And if you are not following me, it's Proper Jam at Twitter. Proper Jam. You can see that there. Yeah, so that was that. And like I said, she's still in the process of moving out as soon as she gets back. So just half the reason we had to do this show tonight instead of tomorrow. So, yeah, here we are.
So she's moving out, so that means I can actually stay with you the next time I'm in Seattle, right?
we'll see about that. It's still in the sun, you know.
It's up to his wife, Ed. It's not up to him.
Oh, well, then no.
Yeah, that's true. But what do we want to talk about first, the network or the Elimination Chamber?
Did you get my email, Craig, that I just sent you?
I will look for that right now, as a matter of fact.
Did I get an email?
I actually was on good old Wikipedia to find out the Elimination Chamber stuff.
Because Craig's the one that usually gives the results and stuff. I didn't figure you needed it.
Yeah, I need to read.
Yeah.
Okay. My goodness, there's a ton of stuff here.
The Elimination Chamber stuff.
And do that first?
No. Yeah, we might as well.
Okay. Alrighty then. Let me close this. Very well prepared, I'm sorry. Of course, as you know, the Elimination Chamber is this weekend. It'll be the last pay-per-view that is going to be on, I don't even know how to say it. It's going to be the last WWE pay-per-view that's going to be on traditional pay-per-view.
Well, it's still going to be on the others are still going to be on pay-per-view. I mean,
yeah.
Before the network. This is the last one that you can only get on pay-per-view before the network.
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is this will be the last one that I will purchase because I will, of course, be getting the network. And we can just quickly run down the lineup for this weekend's pay-per-view.
Okay.
Real quick, sure. it's also the last pay-per-view before WrestleMania, which is in 6 weeks.
Yes.
So basically the whole month of March, there is no pay-per-view, and I don't think I can ever remember there being a month where there wasn't a pay-per-view.
I think it's happened last year. I mean, it's happened like in about the last 7 or 8 years. I think there's been a couple.
It's been at least 5 weeks between Elimination Chamber and Mania. I think this might be the longest stretch. But there's usually a pretty good stretch, and then I remember 1 year, it was like 3 weeks after Mania was the next pay-per-view, so hopefully they don't do that again. But, it is a pretty decent stretch.
Mania always ends up around the 1st of April.
Yeah. Yes, that's correct, which this year almost falls on my birthday, so that's kind of cool. One of these years it's going to be on my birthday, and that'll be cool. But the pay-per-view lineup is as follows. On the free for all, I guess you would call it, Darren Young will be wrestling Titus O'Neil.
I thought it
actually
was
that's not
the free for all.
That's not the. Okay. I'm sorry, that is completely wrong.
Well, I actually get an email, so I could you know, not make mistakes like that.
Well, I'm on WWE.com.
I didn't send him anything about the Elimination Chamber card.
I'm on WWE.com. I assume that it's Darren Young versus Titus O'Neil on the free show, but it doesn't say.
The Rhodes is against Axel and Ryback or something like that.
Yeah, that's the
there it is. There it is. My bad. Cody Rhodes and Goldust will be wrestling Ryback and Curtis Axel. This is, in fact, it says in parentheses, the kickoff match. So this will be on free YouTube and WWE.com and things like that. From there, we have what I expect will be the opener. I expect Batista and Alberto Del Rio will open up the show.
Well, they need a, you know, if they're going to have a squash match, it might as well be on first.
Yeah, something to either that or it could be Big E against Jack Swagger, which is also that's the Intercontinental Championship match. So I expect one of those two will go on first. Or heck, now that I look at it.
The opening part of this show or the undercard of this show is very, very underwhelming.
It really is a two-match show, really.
That
who really cares about
BD
and Swagger, and who cares about Titus and Young, and who even cares about Batista and Del Rio after the last couple of weeks?
Things are turning out been clicking with me. I don't know.
Yeah, there's no reason to be invested in Batista and Del Rio. We've already seen Batista destroy the man week after week. So it's not like
on Monday.
Clearly, they need to turn Dave heel at some point.
Yes, I agree. So we have that match. We have the Intercontinental Championship match with Big E and Jack Swagger. We have the Tag Team Champions, the New Age Outlaws versus the Usos. I expect that'll be decent.
I would change the titles because the Outlaws are taking the Tag Team division down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what I think could steal the show, the Shield versus the Wyatt family.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, the build-up the last couple of weeks has been awesome. Like 2 weeks ago when the Shield was leaving and they were already over the railing, and then the Wyatts came out, and then just they did it perfectly because they had Roman just jump over the thing, the railing, and then the other two followed. And then every time the Wyatts got a little closer, Roman jumped, he got to the ring, and then he jumped in the ring, and then he got in the ring first. And then, you know, they're really setting them up for, like, a babyface turn when they finally break up the Shield. And then this past week, you know, the same thing, and then just the thing at the end, they just gave you like a little tease of it, and then they even, you know, because usually Raw goes about another 5-6 minutes longer, you know what I mean? But they kept that right at the perfect time.
I mean, sometimes if they ended the show with those guys, you know, that was one of, like, clearly the main thing that ended the show, so.
Right.
Wasn't much the main event.
I wish they would have held them off and they wouldn't have touched, but they barely got into it, so it wasn't so bad.
This would have been a good match to have in the chamber. Matter of
fact,
it's like a team match.
Absolutely.
I'm picking the Wyatts to win because I think it's just going to keep building the tension with the Shield.
Sure.
Going into WrestleMania. I don't know what they're going to do. At Mania, I don't know what they're going to do. I might do one of those. I think maybe they should do like a three-way with those guys, the Shield, against each other. I mean, that could be something. So.
I'd actually like, if depending on how good the match is, I'd like to see him come back with, like No Holds Barred or Falls Count Anywhere or something like that. Something, add a stip to it and have the feud blown off at Mania.
Yeah.
You know.
I just think the Wyatt's win because if Bray's going to be fighting John Cena, you know.
Kinda. No, it's true. Forgot about that. Shoot. And in the main event is the Elimination Chamber match. we have Daniel Bryan, John Cena, Sheamus, Christian, Antonio Cesaro, excuse me, Cesaro, and Randy Orton.
I think it'll be an awesome match, actually. I mean, they really do got some good people in there.
Yep.
Of course, you do know that Christian is not winning.
No.
And, of course, everyone's hoping Cesaro looks good, but then you never know what the hell can happen. They could just pin him real quick, so hopefully they won't do that. And then people are going to be upset come Sunday night, Monday morning, because Daniel Bryan has to lose somehow. You know what I mean? He's not winning. So prepare for a bunch of smart marks to be upset. But hopefully they'll do some kind of way for them to, or maybe eliminate him without him actually getting pinned, like maybe Triple H coming. Like when they're, let's say, they got to open the door to get the eliminated guys out of there. You know, they can have Daniel Hurt and Triple H rush in there when one of them's like out and tell the ref to like tell him he's like whatever. You know, so hopefully he won't get like pinned. But he is.
He just started in the match and Triple H takes him out of it.
Yeah.
Or is like. And he did set up like he was hurt on Monday, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's kind of where they're going with that. And, you know, everybody in there is going to. Is good. So, I mean, you know, I think it'll be a really, really good match.
And there haven't been too many bad chamber matches, I don't recall.
We'll get to it. There was a couple of them that were pretty bad.
I remember Koslov was in one of them and just couldn't even get over the ropes.
Yeah, we'll talk about it here in a minute. I do expect Triple H to interfere in the match, and with the way that the cage is set up, where there's a good, you know, 8 inches in between the chain link, or the chain, I guess it really it is. I would expect a sledgehammer involved, possibly, you know, Randy holding him against the chamber. You know, maybe Triple H hits him with the sledge, or you know, who knows? They'll figure it out. And as Dave stated the other night, I'd really like to see it come down to Cesaro and Orton. At the end, that would be that'd be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't hurt for Cesaro to get pinned. He just had a tremendous match with Orton last Friday, and he had a blowaway match with Cena on Monday. So it wouldn't hurt that he gets pinned.
Yeah, he's been on a roll, man. He's been freaking awesome. That Cena match was fucking great.
It was tremendous.
Yeah, somebody got to turn him babyface soon or something like that.
Oh, they have to. They have to.
Well, I don't know why they haven't done the gimmick where he does the giant swing and they go to commercial and he's still doing it when they come back.
Well, apparently after Raw this week, he ended up with Dean Ambrose. And Ambrose got the 100 Revolution gimmick where Cesaro spun him 100 times. That's pretty
amazing, because I mean the one time that he has done it, it was against Ridley Redwood, who Ambrose, who's not a big guy, probably still has like 50 pounds on.
Oh, easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
You know, because Ridley Redwood, he's a tiny little dude. It would be awesome though if he did it to not Ambrose, but it's like there was something on Raw where doing it to El Torito. And then they go to commercial and come back, and then that would be awesome.
And the way they could do it, like during commercial, he could like drop him, and then actually pick him back up, and start spinning. So it would look like it. He was still going. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why not? Of course, they do have the app. So. Anyway.
They should do that when they make a babyface, though. They need to wait till he is full-fledged babyface, because that would be so badass.
Mm-hmm.
I want him as a babyface and still have Zeb with him. I love Zeb, Uncle Zeb.
Yeah. Well, he's good, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
So the very first Elimination Chamber match was actually held at Survivor Series 2002 in New York City. And we had Triple H versus Booker T versus Chris Jericho versus Kane versus one Shawn Michaels and his ugly brown tights.
Oh, my God.
And Rob Van Dam.
And Rob Van Dam tried to murder
It was a thing on one of those Shawn Michaels DVDs with Triple H and Jericho talking about those brown pants.
Yes.
It's like an extra on there and saying how god-awful. I think they were like not ready or something. I don't know what it was, but they were like the most god-awful outfit. And Shawn, he was always good about wearing anything that he could get into,
sure.
And he can also it over. But that was hideous.
Yeah, they were no good. So
only thing worse I've seen is in TNA when Billy Gunn started wearing gear that looked like he stole it from Tori Wilson's locker. Remember that?
Yes.
Oh, my God. It looked like he lost a bet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But the eliminations went down as follows. Shawn Michaels won the Elimination Chamber match in 39 minutes and 20 seconds. He actually won the world title. Booker T pinned Van Dam in 13 minutes and 37 seconds. Jericho pinned Booker T at the 17:43 mark. Jericho pinned Kane at the 22:53 mark. Michaels then pinned Jericho at 30 minutes and 43 seconds. And then Michaels pinned his good friend, Triple H, in 39 minutes and 20 seconds to win the world title. And, this was a great match.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I remember that.
It's like almost hard to have a bad match in like one of these things.
Oh yeah. There's enough gimmicks to where busting through the quote unquote bulletproof glass, which by the way, really, you're gonna let us believe that? What did they call? What was they called it? Lexitan or something like that.
Plexiglass or something.
I can't remember exactly, but in the beginning they actually used glass that actually broke and it shattered. Not later on they switched to more of a plastic, and so when they hit the thing, the whole thing pops out, but. In this first one, you hit the thing and glass shattered, and it was it was pretty amazing. It was a heck of a match.
You guys taking those bumps on those grates outside, on the apron and stuff. Oh my God,
brutal! And of course, this was back when they still did color, and so it really added to the drama. The next match, SummerSlam 2003, Phoenix, Arizona. We had Triple H versus Goldberg versus Chris Jericho versus Shawn Michaels versus, good Lord, really, Kevin Nash versus Randy Orton. And it went as follows. Chris Jericho pinned, I got ahead of myself. Jericho pinned Nash in 8 minutes and 16 seconds. Goldberg Orton. 13 minutes and 2 seconds, Goldberg then pinned Michaels, Travis, you've just, in 15:22, Goldberg pinned Jericho, at 16:06, and then Triple H, the King of Kings, as we all bow to him, Triple H pinned Goldberg in 19 minutes and 15 seconds.
My ass off.
Half of
Didn't
the time...
Didn't he, not want to get out of the pod, and Goldberg had to break the pod by kicking it?
He punched through it. I thought he was, smarter about punching through things at this point. It hasn't worked out
well. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I think he would have learned,
Yeah, if he almost lost his arm.
This isn't a car window, brother.
Yeah.
And they really made Goldberg look like a giant joke, not just with the wig, when he first came in, but he was supposed to be something really special, and didn't they celebrate over his limp body in the middle of the ring? I mean, it
I don't remember.
Yeah, it's...
Are you talking about this match or the WrestleMania match?
It might have been that one, but...
No, he won at WrestleMania.
Well, no, he still got laid out, though.
Well, that was just...
He just
got a stunner.
Yeah.
That was about it.
It wasn't back.
Well, he was leaving. Who cares?
Yeah. It's true.
And everybody was pissed at the other guy, so...
Next one was a little paper.
I don't know. That's where somebody stole the spark plugs in his car in that one angle when he tried to chase a rock and his car wouldn't start. So he ran after him, got out of the car and ran after him. Do you remember that?
I remember that.
He had like a Mustang and was supposed to be chasing the rock and the rock had gone out of the arena, gets in the car and doesn't start. So he gets out of the car and then runs out the door.
Oh, the wonders of live TV. Now, did we ever find out if the car was sabotaged? I'm sure it was.
I don't know. Sounds like somebody's fucking with him.
Third one we had was New Year's Revolution, which, of course, they don't do that anymore. This one was from San Juan, Puerto Rico on January 9th, 2005. We had Batista versus Chris Benoit versus Edge versus Jericho versus Randy Orton versus Triple H and Shawn Michaels as the special guest referee. And back over. Jericho pinned Edge. Oh, for crying out loud. And Jericho, Edge, Benoit, Batista, Randy Orton, Triple H. So, yeah, Jericho pinning Edge in 19 minutes, 20 seconds. Batista pinned Benoit at 26:15. Batista pinned Jericho 27:27. Randy Orton pinned Batista 32:32. That's weird. And Triple H pinned Orton at 34:55. And this was to win the vacant world title match. World title.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because it was vacant because he and Benoit went like to a double pin or a no decision. Do you remember when the babyface won that match in Survivor Series and all gave themselves title shots because they got to be GMs for a week?
Yeah, I think I do know.
And I remember because it was like Maven was on their team and he got a title shot against Triple H. And then it was like Jericho and Benoit and Orton. So.
Yeah, even Maven got a good match out of Triple H.
That was an awesome match, though. I remember that, me thinking he was going to win the title.
Yeah. Yeah, say what you want about Triple H, but when he wants a guy to shine, he can make him shine.
Mm-hmm.
He did it with Maven. He did it with Taka. I mean, he's a good little world champ. Yeah.
But let me interrupt the show here real quick. Just something caught my eye on Twitter. Greg, do you ever follow Lance Storm when he answers the fan questions on Twitter?
Yeah, but
I
have a bunch of windows open right now because I'm doing the show. Why don't you just go ahead and tell us what it says?
Well, it's just they ask the stupidest questions, and I just love his responses. Like, this one guy is asking him, who has been your toughest opponent in the ring? And Lance's reply is, I don't understand the question.
It's not real, you dumb shit.
He gets these questions all day long, and he answers them, but his answers are almost always awesome. He's not, like, really rude. But it's like, you know what I mean? You can tell when he's like, what the fuck are you asking?
It makes you feel like a dumbass without trying to make you feel like a dumbass. He's like the soup Nazi when he answers those questions. He's just for no soup for you. He answers, that's a stupid question.
Right.
Go to his website and read some of those older questions. Q&A's are funny as hell.
But anyway, back to the show. That just made me laugh.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Next one up was 1 year later, New Year's Revolution 2006. And John Cena versus Kurt Angle versus Carlito versus, not making this up, Chris Master versus Shawn Michaels versus Kane. And it went as follows. I have no idea.
Was this when he first came out or something and they were still pushing him? Or
so Chris Masters?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was like just after he'd only been there for like about 6 months or so.
So it went down like this. And Michael's pinning Angle, 13:58. They had Chris Masters pinning Carlito. Or excuse me, Chris Masters and Carlito pinned Kane at 19:25. Carlito then pinned, again, I'm not making this up, Shawn Michaels at 23:35. Carlito then pinned Masters.
That's because of the McMahon's command distracted him, so it wasn't like, you know.
Yes, he didn't hit him with his finisher.
Yeah.
Okay,
I have breaking news from Impact, apparently. Seeing this on Twitter, but apparently Sam Shaw just murdered a security guard.
Hmm. You know, they could do murder on Impact, and I don't think it would improve the ratings.
No.
Well, unless they kill Dixie, you know, that might spice it a little bit.
Oh, well. Anyway. Carlito then pinned Masters at 28:12, and then Cena pinned Carlito at 28:23. This is when the Elimination Chamber had kind of lost its appeal. And then it really, really lost its appeal because there was a show.
No, you missed the whole thing. Edge cashed in Money in the Bank afterwards.
Oh, that's right. Hello.
You're the first one to cash it in.
Yes, Edge cashed in the Money in the Bank and pinned John Cena at 1 minute and 46 seconds to win the WWE title.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
The man got lost 6-9.
Okay.
Didn't we get a nipple the next night, too?
Yes.
Oh, for crying out loud.
That was awesome. That was like one of the greatest weekends in the history of WWE.
Last six celebration. I still can't believe they did that. Before PG.
Yeah. So, 2006. This was a real show. ECW World Championship on the line. The December to Dismember. One of the worst pay-per-views I have seen all my time on Earth. Came from Augusta, Georgia. There was one good match on the show, and it was, it was Eminem versus...
The Hardys.
Thank you, the Hardys. The stupid match went like a half hour. It was a very good match. But then the main event came around, and we had... Big Show versus Bobby Lashley versus Hardcore Holly versus CM Punk versus Test versus Rob Van Dam.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I remember right, this was one of the things where you pinned the guy and you were the champion. Is that the kind of the way it went?
Well, it was just elimination, you know, the last guy pinned, you know.
Okay. Yeah, the way this is written, I can't, it doesn't look right. Bobby Lashley defeated Big Show, Rob Van Dam, Hardcore Holly, CM Punk, Test. Yeah, it's all
just... It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing was, that I went through. They conveniently left out December to Dismember, which I think tells you what people thought of that pay-per-view.
Yeah. The whole thing went 24-43, and Bobby Lashley won the thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it really sucked. I mean, it was one of the one of the worst things I've ever seen.
This is like the pay-per-view like went off the air like 35 minutes early.
Yeah.
And the people were chanting TNA.
I think there was a total of like 4 matches on the show. It was, yeah, it was no good. No good at all.
But I should check out the Brian and Vinny review of this show because it was fucking awesome.
Okay.
So they had Mark, they were a friend of Brian's on there. They watched the show together.
That's right.
And he's like the guy that hates everything. So.
That's right. Okay, so then it came down to No Way Out 2008, February 17th. We had 2 on the No Way Out pay-per-view. The first one was a SmackDown / ECW Elimination Chamber. We had Batista versus Big Daddy V versus Finlay, Great Khali versus MVP versus The Undertaker. And that went as follows. Batista pinned Big Daddy V, 9 minutes, 7 seconds. The Undertaker forced Khali to submit at 12:38. Fit pinned MVP at 22:31. Undertaker pinned Finlay at 24:11. And then the Undertaker pinned Batista at 29:28. On the same show, we had the Raw side of things. Jeff Hardy, Chris Jericho, JBL, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and Umaga. And that went as follows. Chris Jericho pinned JBL, 13:44. Jeff Hardy pinned Umaga, 19:45. Hardy pinned Jericho at 19:57. Triple H pinned Shawn Michaels at 20 minutes and 25 seconds. And then, of course, Triple H pinned Jeff Hardy at the 23:54 mark.
And thank God he did, because then the party got suspended like 2 weeks later for 60 days for winning a violation.
Right.
Him going up with what could have been bad.
That's right. The next one was No Way Out 2009 and emanated from Washington.
Real quick on that other Elimination Chamber match from the one with The Undertaker. Well, I just remember the finish was awesome. He had Big Dave, he had Undertaker up over his shoulder like outside the ring. Ran his head into the cage, and Taker just shoved off the cage, and they both go back over the top rope into the ring, and he turns it into a tombstone. It's like one of the best finishes I've ever seen.
Oh, awesome. So I can check that out. Okay, as I was saying, No Way Out 2009, this came from Seattle, Washington. Yours truly was in attendance. We had, on the SmackDown side of things, we had Edge versus Show versus Hardy versus, here's a blast from the past, Vladimir Kozlov versus The Undertaker versus Triple H. And that went as follows. As soon as I find it here, Jeff Hardy pinned Edge in 2 minutes and 59 seconds. Undertaker pinned Kozlov 2 minutes and 59 seconds.
What was up with that?
It was you to play it out in the next match.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Undertaker pinned Kozlov in 22:57. Triple H pinned Big Show in 26:09. The Undertaker pinned Hardy at 28:28. And then Triple H, of course, pinned The Undertaker in 35:55. Next up for the Raw side of things.
In what?
Is that the one where Shawn like interfered at the end?
Next year.
Oh, next year, okay.
On the Raw side of things, we had John Cena versus Edge versus Chris Jericho versus Kane versus Mike Knox versus Rey Mysterio Jr. Wait a minute.
It was supposed to be Kofi in this match, and Edge jumped him before the match. Only in wrestling can you jump the man before the match and then take his place and win the belt.
That's right. So that went down as this. Rey Mysterio pinned Kane in 9 minutes, 37 seconds. Jericho pinned Mike Knox, 14 minutes, 40 seconds.
I thought
Edge pinned Cena, 22:22. Mysterio pinned Jericho, 23:54, and Edge pinned Mysterio in 29 minutes and 49 seconds to win the world title. And
I just remember Mysterio was freaking awesome in this match.
I was just going to say that. He was insanely good in this match. He did a couple of times where he actually climbed the chain and was doing spots off the middle of the structure into the ring. I mean, he was just phenomenal. Awesome showing.
Yeah.
Which leads us to 2010. On the Raw side of things, Sheamus, John Cena, Triple H, Randy Orton, Ted DiBiase, and Kofi Kingston. Let me find it here, sorry. Ted DiBiase Jr. pinned Randy Orton in 24:02. Kofi pinned DiBiase 25:39. Sheamus pinned Kingston 26:13. Triple H pinned Sheamus 28:38. And believe it or not, Cena forced Triple H to submit in 30 minutes and 22 seconds. On the SmackDown side of things, lost my spot. Undertaker, R-Truth, John Morrison, Rey Mysterio, Chris Jericho, and CM Punk. We had CM Punk pin R-Truth 3 minutes and 34 seconds. Rey Mysterio pinned Punk 9 minutes 58 seconds. John Morrison pinned Mysterio at the 20-minute mark. Undertaker pinned John Morrison 28:24. And Jericho pinned The Undertaker in 35:36.
When Shawn came out from underneath the one of the greats and gave him a super kick. This is when he was trying to get the match at Mania, the rematch with him and Taker at Mania.
Right.
So that's why he interfered.
Okay. Vaguely remember now. Moving right along. Elimination Chamber 2011. Oakland, California. On the SmackDown side of things, Edge, Drew McIntyre, Rey Mysterio, Kane, Wade Barrett, and Big Show. The coolness of these matches is going down each time we get another one. Yeah,
Type and 3MB makes it into the match.
Big Show pinned Wade Barrett 18:47, Kane pinned Show 20:52. Kane pinned Drew McIntyre 21:08. Edge then pinned Kane at 22:49. And Edge pinned Rey Mysterio 31:28.
But this was the year he retired, right? I'm pretty sure he is.
He retired after the Arizona pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So that was the rematch for Shawn and Taker, so I would have guessed that would have been it then.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Well, that was the year before, wasn't it? He wouldn't have been in this match if he retired the year before.
Shoot. It was
the Atlanta one then. It was the Atlanta one where he fought Del Rio.
Yeah, it was the year before when he fought Jericho. Remember, he came back from the Achilles heel.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay, I was wrong. It was the Atlanta one was the last one.
Okay.
Okay. All screwed up now. Okay, here we go. John Cena, Sheamus, CM Punk, Randy Orton, John Morrison, R-Truth on the Raw side of things. Sheamus pinned R-Truth 17:30. CM Punk pinned Orton 21:31. John Morrison pinned Sheamus 25:16, and then Punk pinned Morrison at 33:10. Or excuse me, at 32, and it cuts off, and then John Cena pinned Punk. So there you go.
I remember this because originally Orton had eliminated Punk. Remember they opened the pod and he was getting out, but it didn't open all the way, so he got stuck, and Orton jumped him. And then poured him out and gave him RKO and beat him. But then Biggie came out and said that this is a malfunction of the pod. CM Punk is back in the match. And then he came in and pinned Orton.
Yeah, and this one, for whatever reason, this got the championship match, the WWE championship match at WrestleMania that year, 2011.
Mm-hmm. Against Elimination, the Miz.
Yeah. Elimination Chamber, 2012, CM Punk, Kofi Kingston, The Miz, Dolph Ziggler, Chris Jericho, R-Truth.
Jobbers in that match today.
I'll tell you. Had Punk pinned R-Truth 11-42.
Yeah,
maybe so. Jericho pinned Dolph Ziggler 19-17. Jericho forced Kofi to submit at 25-32. Punk got a TKO on Jericho soon after that, and then Punk pinned The Miz 33-26.
Yeah, because of the head, he kicked Jericho in the head or something, and
right.
I think he got knocked out, and they took him out.
On the SmackDown side of things, Daniel Bryan, Wade Barrett, Cody Rhodes, Big Show, Santino Marella, and the Great Khali. Yeah.
Didn't it come down to Santino at the end?
I can't remember. We'll just go through the results.
Anyway, Big Show pinned Khali 16. Khali went 16 minutes with the show. 16:32. Wade Barrett pinned Show 22:37. Santino pinned Cody Rhodes, travesty of justice, 23 minutes and 5 seconds. And then Santino went on to pin Wade Barrett at the 30-38 mark, and then Brian, of course, forced Santino to tap at the 34-04 mark. And
I remember those last minutes with he and Santino were pretty hot.
It was awesome. It was great.
Santino had, that was awesome. Him and Brian was awesome. And going back to, the Royal Rumble from a couple of years ago when Del Rio won, he was awesome when he just, Del Rio – I thought he had won, and then all of a sudden he just rises from the dead outside of the ring and gets back in. And
right.
You know, Santino's had some awesome moments in big matches.
Yeah. Yeah, and anyway. Okay, and then last year, February 17th, 2013, Elimination Chamber from New Orleans, Louisiana. Jack Swagger, Chris Jericho, Daniel Bryan, Kane, Mark Henry, and Randy Orton, and I still can't believe this when I read it. Mark Henry pinned Daniel Bryan 16:33. Henry pinned Kane 18 minutes 19 seconds. Randy Orton pinned Mark Henry at 23:17. Orton pinned Chris Jericho 31:10. And Jack Swagger pinned Randy Orton in 31 minutes and 16 seconds to win the Elimination Chamber match. Jack Swagger.
Yeah, this was when he had been off for TV for several months, right?
Yeah, it'd been a while. I just, it blows my mind to think back to that he actually won last year's Elimination Chamber.
Well, I'm happy he did because he brought Zeb Coulter into WWE. He's one of my favorites.
Well, he almost got fired right away, too, though, when he got her fucking pulled over for smoking pot. But, what was more of a shock, him winning that match or when he had won the world title and was hanging out with that American Eagle and his dad?
Yeah, that was pretty dumb.
I was more shocked when I found out Bunkhouse Buck was his dad.
Dude, he's telling me his dad's Bunkhouse Buck and his manager is Zeb Coulter. I mean,
his uncle has to be like Robert Fuller. The whole set of table. Let's bring them in.
Right, this is it. That'd be awesome.
Bring Tennessee Lee in. Bring back Downtown Bruno. I want Phil Hickerson to show up next. I'll be happy.
I don't think that's going to happen, but...
Probably not. So, just a few short hours after the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view ends this week, the start-up of the WWE Network will start next Monday. It says after Raw, but
it starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, 8 Central, like all the on-demand stuff.
It starts first thing in the morning on Monday, so
I'm actually way more excited about Monday than I am about this pay-per-view. So
true. We do have a schedule.
Yeah, so he says that, and then he's going to log on to the network and click on the Big South and then see, like, maybe 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't expect them. I don't expect them to have all that stuff up at the start, but, I mean, that's not a big deal, you know?
Yeah.
I hope they have the DVDs up at the start.
I know that they had when they were showing it at the whatever that, when they made the announcement, they showed like a section called The Vault, and I saw some world-class stuff in there. So I think they're going to have some stuff like that. And I know they're having like, Joey Styles on Twitter said they're having like all the ECW shows from like sort from 1992 through 2000.
Nice.
So, yeah.
So we do have a schedule here. We do have a schedule here. And, it reads as such. A lot of this, I just can't wrap my head around all this stuff. I mean, it's a ton of stuff. The network will have Mania 30 and the Hall of Fame Live, a live Raw pre-show and post-show at 7:30 p.m. and 11:05 p.m. And the same with SmackDown at 7:30 and 10 p.m.
I cannot wait for the Ultimate Warrior's last speech that I'll be watching.
The WrestleMania Rewind will be airing Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Although Episode 1 will air at 9 a.m. Monday. All shows are also available at your convenience. So it doesn't really matter what time it airs.
Yeah.
It's you know, like Netflix. You can just watch it whenever.
Yeah, all the stuff about it, like the times and stuff there. Unless it's like the live show, like the NXT thing, or, you know, like the Hall of Fame, I'm probably not going to be like, oh, it's 8 o'clock, it's time to watch WrestleMania Rewind. I'll just, like, catch it when it's on the, you know, when it's already up on the on-demand. I don't need to, like, actually watch the live feed or anything like that. So.
Right. Yeah, why would you? Why would you? And from there, we have WWE Countdown, and this will air on Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Episode 1 will, of course, start airing at 10 a.m. on Monday. I am wildly, wildly curious about Legends House. It'll debut on April 10th at 8 p.m.
It's not like the highest rating in the first year.
It's just 3 years in the making, and that they made it 3 years ago, and it's finally coming.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy that they taped it that long ago, and it's finally seeing the light of day. We have a behind-the-scenes NXT show called This is NXT. It airs on Monday at 11 a.m. NXT will air Thursday at 9 p.m. Yes,
when
you heard that
special,
right. The 27th? I think it's a week from today is the live special.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's next week.
Yeah. With Cesaro and Sami Zayn in the main event. I think it's a 2 out of 3 falls match, but please don't quote me on that.
I came Bo Dallas and somebody else in a ladder match.
That's right.
Neville and Bo Dallas.
NXT is going to be airing completely opposite of, that's right, Impact Wrestling.
And then Empire and Paige are wrestling too on the show.
Yeah.
Superstars will air Thursday at 10. Beyond the Ring with classic matches, bios, and old footage will debut on March 1st at 8 p.m. The Best of Raw will air Wednesdays at 9 p.m. There will be a special debut on the 27th of this month at 4:30. Best of SmackDown will air Sundays at 1 p.m. starting on March 1st. And that is your lineup as of now. More to come.
Yeah, I want them to put the round table on.
I'm sure all of that's up there. Who knows? I don't see why they wouldn't. It's like something that they, you know, they already have produced. They could put up there, so.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for the day where you can go back and watch fucking World Class from, like, 82 to 86, or watch Mid-South from so-and-so to so-and-so, and that's probably the first pay-per-views I'm going to watch. I know we're going to be the, like, very early NWA, WCW ones.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think
the Bunkhouse Stampede might be the first pay-per-view I watch on it.
So, basically, you want to watch something boring.
That was awesome. It was awesome.
That was a horrible show.
Awesome.
And I think it's the first Starcades up there, 83, 84.
Is the Boogie Woogie Gang going to be on it?
No, I don't think so. I'm going to go back and watch the Wrestling Classic from 1985. You remember that show? 16-man
The greatest spot I ever saw all my time, all my life with, and they do it so often now with Dynamite Kid suplexing the Macho Man off the top rope, but Macho Man outsmarted him and hooked his feet as they hit the bat.
Yeah.
I think that might have been the first top rope superplex I had ever seen, because before that it was middle rope that they would do it.
Yeah, this was the first, like, both men on the top rope.
And the Hogan match, Hogan wrestled Orndorff in the, I guess it would be special attraction match because it wasn't a tournament match.
No, it was Piper.
Oh, Piper, that's right.
Orndorff was in the tournament. He was a babyface, and Hogan wrestled Piper.
And the tournament was pretty lackluster, but the main event with Macho and Dynamite Kid was just...
The best matches were they had a really good short match with Steamboat and Davey Boy Smith.
Didn't like Davey crossed himself and got injured, and that was kind of like the end of the match.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And they had Steamboat against Savage, it was one of the tournament matches. Adrian Adonis and against the Dynamite Kid was really good. Moondog Slide and Terry Funk was funny. Junkyard Dog against Iron Sheik, where there was no referee in the ring, so he just counted his own pin and advanced in the tournament. I remember, this was the one where Nikolai had just finished doing the Russian National Anthem, and then I might maybe hit him with top rope dropkick and pin him in like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
It was like a 3-second match. So. And then Junkyard Dog beat Savage by count out in the finals. And, another travesty of justice. So.
Yeah, that was one of the first wrestling videotapes I ever bought.
That was one of the first pay-per-views I remember getting.
I think it was actually the first WWF pay-per-view that they ever did. Before that was just like closed circuit.
Mm-hmm.
Was it before or after WrestleMania? The first one.
Before after what?
Okay, was this before or after the first WrestleMania?
This is after the first WrestleMania.
Okay, then the first WrestleMania was the first thing on pay-per-view because I saw that on pay-per-view.
It was on closed circuit.
No, it was on certain cable stations and San Antonio got it, so I watched it on pay-per-view.
No, you're wrong.
No, you're wrong.
No,
we'll right. Find a back issue of the Observer then, buddy.
Dave's typewriter was fucking up that week, and I don't want to read that. Right, so I'm not going to Google the Observer.
It was on paper in certain markets.
That's a lie to me. I know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I know what I'm talking about, buddy. You are wrong. You are so wrong.
Mommy and Daddy, you're fighting again. Sometimes I revert to my childhood when people yell.
But he's probably right. I just like being contrary.
he likes being wrong.
There's a difference.
But anyway, we can move away from my mental victory and get back on the subject of the network here.
Your mental victory.
And
it's little things in life, yes.
I also want to see, like, basically, I mean, really, I want to see all the territory shit. So that's why I'm hoping they don't take forever adding shit to it. And then it would be also be cool if they, like, maybe down the line in a few years, like, maybe make a deal. Because, you know, at some point they're going to run out of stuff to add, so maybe they'll make a deal with, like, say, ROH or other companies and buy, like, early DVDs and put them on the network, you know.
I don't see that happening, but maybe.
They're not going to run out of content to put up.
No.
I mean, they may leave stuff up for a long time, but, I mean, it's going to be there's a shitload of stuff they got.
Well, like I said, hopefully it won't take them forever to put it on there, because I think there's a lot of people who want to see, like, you know, Mid-South from when, you know, from the beginning to the end, and then, you know, other people don't want to see other stuff that they only heard about when they were kids and read in the aftermath and didn't see.
Yeah.
I imagine they'll start adding stuff little by little, probably at month two. So I don't think there's going to be any. I don't think there's going to be any need of more content. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But have they mentioned that they're going to have fucking the Hulk Hogan cartoon on?
No, I don't think they have that.
Oh. Well, that's bullshit, because that was awesome.
I don't even know if they own that. NBC might own that.
Yeah, they probably don't own that, but they should try and get it, or, you know. That would be awesome.
I used to watch that cartoon every morning. I want, like, four episodes of Primetime Wrestling, and I just want to watch the shit between the matches with Gorilla and Bobby.
Well, every once in a while they had a few good matches.
I want to see the skit where Bobby goes to the horse race and then Ron Bass tries to help him pick out a horse to buy and stuff like that. And they go to they're shooting some Western movie on a Western set and Bobby's got a role in it. And, you know, funny shit happens.
I'm just hoping they'll have Fuji Vice. So.
TNT, I'd love to see some TNT. I like watching that stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely. I want to see Bobby and Gorilla go to the zoo and the little girl calls him a weasel and kicks him in the shin before walking away.
I just want to see this big man doing the Johnny Carson imitation when he was a host.
And going Lord Alfred as Ed McMahon. That was some funny shit.
That was awesome.
I was watching one on YouTube like a couple weeks ago, and guess who they had as a guest? Luthes.
Really?
That
was wild.
That's crazy.
That's it.
But they had this crazy show.
You must be mortified to be
like,
on this fucking show.
That was the most wackiest show they ever made.
I remember when they went to on TNT, they had the Funk Family Barbecue, and they dumped the barbecue sauce on Alfred. It was quite disgusting.
Yeah. Ah, good times.
Remember when Hogan, remember when Bundy was trying on the wigs, and Lord Alfred, like, died laughing. King of Money flipped out on him and left the set.
That was almost as funny as when Bundy was eating fried chicken on that World Class interview.
It was weird because back then in World Class, I never saw him with. It was like you go back and watch that World Class and he's got hair. And it's like, God, that looks so weird.
He had like one of those bowl haircuts too, you know, like they put the bowl over his head and just cut around.
Like Mo?
Kinda. It was kind of like that, but just bushier. It was like that, but feathered. Excuse me. But yeah, I can't wait for the network. It's going to be awesome.
If I will be signing up at 8 o'clock Sunday morning.
I wonder if it's going to crash. You almost know it is, you know.
Hopefully it won't, if they're what they're using, what Major League Baseball uses, which apparently is pretty, like, error-free, I guess.
Well, also, it does help that they're doing it at 9, because, you know, for a while they were pushing, like, right after Raw, and let's say they went with that plan, that would, there'd be, like, let's say if they're going to get 2 million people sign up, all 2 million people would be doing it right then, and that would have been the biggest chance for it to crash. So this way they can get some of the numbers down a little bit by starting earlier, so hopefully they won't have that problem.
I think I might still buy WrestleMania on pay-per-view this year just because, I don't know.
Yeah. Better be safe than sorry.
Well, I will be at WrestleMania, so I get to see it live. Did you get your tickets yet, Craig? All
right,
cool.
I think we're
going to
set up right now. Awesome. The only thing I still have to do is get an airplane. So, been kind of.
You haven't bought your airfare yet?
Nope.
Probably, hey, you should have done that months ago. It's gone up since then.
Well,
I kind of mind for pretty cheap. It's barely costing me just barely over $400.
Well, you're also a little bit closer than I am, so
I gotta make a stop in Dallas, but I don't have to change plans, or else I would have had Couture bring me some food or something.
Have Couture bring you? Yes, I'm gonna bring you some food.
Yeah, it should be nice to do that for me.
Why don't you go buy some at the fucking airport?
There you go.
So I'm trying to save my money for Mania.
I don't care if you go to Mania or not. That don't mean shit to me.
Yeah. Well, we also get to have a party at your house in two and a half years when WrestleMania's in Dallas.
I know. I got to clean this place up.
The whole town? Or just your place?
Just my place, I guess. Ed's invited himself. Freddy the Freeloader here.
Everybody, I mean, not just me, I'm inviting everybody. Everybody party at the Paris.
I don't
feel
so good
barbecue for.
The bad thing with my airfare is my airline miles are all through Alaska. And guess who doesn't
think
fly
Alaska
into
New Orleans? Yeah.
Exactly. So it looks like we're going to be flying into Houston and then taking Southwest from Houston over to New Orleans, so luckily it's only an hour.
Are you stopping and picking up Matt Clary, and Clary's riding the rest of the way with you guys?
Yeah, so, yeah, that's kind of everything's still up in the air, so hopefully I'll have everything cemented here in the next week, so I ain't worried about it. All my tickets are done, and, you know, it's all good. It's all right. By the way,
I mean, yeah. What?
I was going to say, just killing time here, looking over Twitter. If you don't follow Missy Hyatt, and if you're not the biggest fan of Impact Pro Wrestling that's on Thursdays, if you follow Missy Hyatt and you also stomach Impact do them both at the same time, because Missy is phenomenal. So watch the show live and follow Missy.
What's she saying about it?
Well, the last thing she posted, she says, I'd rather have $100.
She's talking about Missy's video with Matt
Storm. Well, she did say that. She just posted, I'd rather have $100 in shop TNA credit than 10% of TNA. I can buy a Dixieland shirt, a Dixie figure, a Dixie 8x10, a Hemi CD, Aces and Eights merch. And anyway, she's funny.
Okay, well, you're behind, because her latest one is, so what is Sam Shaw going to do with Hemi? Let's pretend there is no camera and the fourth wall. Maybe one of us should call the authorities.
Maybe
but
one of us should.
I'm glad you brought up Missy, because mm-hmm. I have a story to tell. And that is...
Oh, you have a story to tell.
Yeah, I have a story to tell. Is that last week we did our show about Mid-South Wrestling, and of course we talked about Missy Hyatt and the Love Triangle storyline. And apparently there's a tattletale that listens to this show, because I got yelled at on Twitter, private message, and called stupid because I was giving out wrong information, apparently. And luckily things have been smoothed over, and I have been given all the facts of the story. So I can no longer say something stupid.
What are the facts?
They were not. She did not cheat on John Tatum. They were booking up for like 6 months before the angle happened.
That was not in the upper mag.
Yeah, well, Bill didn't get the whole story, but I got the whole story. I literally got the whole story. And I saw I had a message from Missy, and I was like, oh wow. At first, I thought Missy listened to the show, but apparently, you know, there's Tattletale who listened, and it could be heard. Just he had to let Missy Hyatt know. So, you know, someone tattletailed on me and got me yelled at.
Well, that information was not in the Observer that week.
We have just a few minutes, and I'm hoping Craig decides to tell his story that he has, unless he's going to say that for the Brian and Vinny show.
I will, since nobody listens to this show, I will scoop everybody here. I'm hoping Vince doesn't tell the story. But, so Mick Foley was in town here doing his stand-up Tales from the Road on Sunday night. And I get a message from Brent Kremen. At probably around, I was guessing it was right around 5:30 or so. And the message just stated, Craig, are you going to the Mick Foley show tonight? I texted him back like an hour or so later. He was probably at the show at this time. And said, no, Brent, I've got plans tonight. I'm not going to be able to go. So, the next morning, I wake up, Monday morning, wake up to go to work, and I grab my computer and downloaded all my podcasts and whatnot for the day at work. And I noticed that on Facebook, I have a message from Brent. I open it up, and it simply says, I got to go to the show. Actually, you know what? Give me just a second, and I will pull it up. It was delivered about 2 o'clock in the morning. So here it is. It says, I went. I talked to him for a bit. Said I had been on the B&V show. He doesn't know who I am. So he was upset because Mick didn't know who Brent was. Because you see, he's a big star because he's been on the Brian and Vinny show.
Oh, please, he hasn't been relevant in like 5 years.
So, by the way, I'll throw this in real quick before we throw out the plugs. That's almost as funny. Okay, that's a little bit funnier than I have a friend, his name is Bill. And years ago, we went to a casino, and who should wander in but Trish Stratus, Albert, and Test into this little card room. They had a buffet there, and it was we were hanging out there before one of the shows in Seattle. Wandered over, said hello. They were nice as can be. Took pictures with Trish, got them to sign some things, so forth and so on. Fast forward about 2 years, they're coming back to the Tacoma area, and they're going to do a show in the Tacoma Dome. I want to say it was a SmackDown, but in order to rally the troops, as it were, they went ahead and sent Trish down to Tacoma, and she was going to be signing autographs as the folks bought tickets. So we got there a little bit late, and the line wasn't too bad, actually. So Bill and I jumped in line, and I went through first, got my picture with Trish, and she signed a photo for me, and then I waited on the side of the table there for Bill. Bill extended his hand and goes, "Hi, Trish." And they exchanged a long, awkward pause, and Bill says, "You don't remember me, do you?"
Unless he has, like, a third arm. You know, unless he has, like, a third arm, so he meets, like, a million people. It's like,
I know. And I
so the
died.
Did he upset that she didn't remember him?
Not like Brent. But he, just the way he said it, "You don't remember me, do you?" And she said, "No." And he goes, "Oh, okay, well, never mind." And I'm in tears on the other side of the table. Yes, when you're around beautiful women and Mick Foley, please don't be an idiot. So,
you're someone that would meet tens of thousands of fans, like, every year.
Exactly. Thousands and thousands of people to meet and glad hand and sign autographs. And by golly, you've never heard of me. I've been on the Brian and Vinny show.
I think the only person I remember, Brent, was like Lance Storm or somebody. Because,
exactly.
You know.
Luckily, I was able to see the first meeting between Brent and Lance Storm live in person and be like 2 feet away,
yeah.
Where Lance is just sitting down, dressed real nicely next to his wife and waiting for the wedding to start. And Brent comes up right behind him and whispers, "Have you seen Lance Storm?" And Lance Storm doesn't even, like, really move his head. All he does is just say, "No."
Yeah.
Just says no, nothing else, and sternly looks ahead.
I'd have gone to the wedding. The main thing I'd have done, I'd have taken binoculars and called Brent watching. You know, like I'm bird watching.
Okay, when we went to the wedding, they're having like the dinner the night before at this buffet at this casino. So me and Rodney get there, and we got there kind of early. So, you know, we don't really know anybody other than Brian, Vinny, Craig, and so forth. You know what I mean? So We're just there waiting to see somebody we know, and we've seen pictures of Brent, so we knew Brent. So we saw him coming from like down the way, and as soon as we saw him, I was like, dude, it's Brent. And we just kind of start marking out. And then we noticed he's walking in what looks like this little Asian man. It turns out it was Brian's dad. Somehow Brian's Mexican dad looks like a little Asian man. But we just watched that. We're like, dude, should we introduce ourselves or should we just watch? And Ronnie's like, let's just watch him. So we just watched him and, like, talk to and bug these people at the front of the buffet. You know, asking if there was there was kosher food at the buffet, and if they have bacon and pork. It's just giving them a hard time. And then, you know, later we watched him.
How much food did he have in his pocket?
He stuffed a whole, like, four or five bananas down his shirt and took off and stole the bananas. I'm sitting, like, right in front of him, straight across, and I'm like, I literally see him. He's looking at these bananas. He's holding them, looking at them, and then he just slowly puts them in his shirt. And I'm like, hey, Brian, Britt just put some bananas in his shirt, dude. I think he's going to steal them. And Brian just didn't look all that shocked or surprised. He's like, probably. And he did. After he showed everybody, he like, you know, he kind of squeezed his shirt so everyone could see the bananas in his thing. He showed them all off, and then he took off. And
you got to let people that have your fame.
Yeah. And then he's one of those people where, like, if you're a server, you'd really hate serving the dude because he was sitting there and he was drinking milk, of all things. And he just finished his milk. I swear, he just, the glass came from his, like, left his mouth. And instead of, like, waiting, you know, a minute or two for them to come fill it up, he stood up and goes and walks over to the counter and starts, you know, demanding more milk and stuff. It's like, I'd be like, I'd hate working for that dude if I was a server. But it was a fun time. But I guess we missed the live feed, so I guess I'll throw off a plug late anyway. So everyone check out AngryMorks.com. You can always download the Streamer Show at AngryMorks.com along with a lot of other shows. You can also download the Streamer Show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Contrere. And older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
And I am, as I said earlier, I'm on Twitter at Proper Jam, P-R-O-P-E-R-J-A-M, and I will be making my weekly appearance on the Brian and Vinny Show this coming Tuesday, and looks like I'm there for...
You're not going to go watch the pay-per-view with them?
I'm not sure yet. I don't know how we're going to do that one yet, so...
And I think you said they're going live instead of the pay-per-view's over.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends on what he wants to do. So, haven't talked to him yet. So, yeah. So, it might be on Sunday. Who knows?
You can check me out at youtube.com/Contrere. Got a bunch of old wrestling videos up there. I just put up, like, put together a new playlist and went and put together, like, I got, like, 64 WWF house show matches from, like, the 80s that I posted up there from different places, like Boston Garden, Madison Square Garden, Maple Leaf Gardens, Spectrum, and stuff like that. I like watching those old house show matches, so people can go and check that out.
Very cool.
Wait, had you finished your plugs? Or did you try to...
No, it was finished.
Did you give your Twitter?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I just wasn't paying attention.
Thanks.
But anyway,
I didn't give
we'll
mine.
Be back.
I don't give a fuck about it, so I'm not gonna plug it.
You only got like 5 followers, anyway.
That's fine. I was 35 when I made the account. I'm like, it's gonna be 39. I don't care about Twitter. I think I'm probably my life will be happier if I don't use Twitter.
Yeah.
There's some funny stuff on Twitter, but and if you're into and if you follow porn chicks, there's a lot of porn on Twitter too.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, we'll be back. I think there's more porn on the internet than any single thing else.
Of course, that's what everybody's into, even though they say they aren't.
Yeah. What's your favorite porn site, Craig?
I honestly don't have one.
I like Spankwire. I like X-Videos. I like X-Hamster. I like YouTube.
I like Wanky. Wanky has
porn a lot of Jizz.com. E-Jizz.
All right, I'm done.
I once had a password. I once had, like, one of those shared passwords to Brazzers. That was fucking awesome.
Well, see, that's where you go too far. Actually registering. That's where you go too far registering for sites. So that's just creepy. Okay?
What?
Send no porn site my address. I give them somebody else's address.
Craig hung up on us out of disgust, apparently. He was the one talking about porn.
Okay. Through anyway.
Anyway, we'll be back next week. So fast, everybody, come back then.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
want to find out how good you are, you're looking at the major shit. Let's go hook him up. I'm gonna drag you until I wear your Texas ass out.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.